Good evening, everybody. It's lovely to be here. And I'm just going to really share, I just want to be an encouragement, really, to people. And, you know, there's people here, you know, who know God. Well, we all know God, but have known God a long time. And, you know, we all have our own devotion and way of devoting our lives to God. And so I'm just going to share just my experience. That's what it is, really. My experience of my devotion to God over the years. And I was thinking about, you know, the word devote, and who did you devote for, you know, when the political parties last week, did you vote for anybody? And it's a hard decision because, you know, you read up about all the different people, all the political parties, and actually your heart can't totally go with everything that they believe or that they say. Or actually, if they're saying good things, you often think, are they actually going to do those things? And it's a challenge, isn't it, to put your vote there. And the word devote actually is to do with that. Devote, you know, where you're going to put your vote. So I'm going to start first with just reading some scripture. It's actually from the Daily Light this month. Just some, you know, the Daily Light, it's morning. There's scriptures on the morning and scriptures on an evening, if you do that, if you read that. But every time you read, say, the morning, there's a particular theme. There's a group of scriptures there that communicate a theme or something about who God is. And so this one is, I'm just going to start with this. I'm just going to read some of the scriptures of this particular morning. And it says, surely the Lord is in this place, but I did not realize it. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee to escape your presence? If I were to ascend to heaven, you would be there. If I were to sprawl out in Sheol, there you would be. Do you really think anyone can hide himself where I cannot see him? Do you not know that I am everywhere? The Lord asks. I dwell in an exalted and high and holy place, but also with the discouraged and humiliated, in order to cheer up the humiliated and to encourage the discouraged. And we are the temple of the living God. And the last bit I've written here, it says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So all of these scriptures, they're just communicating the truth about God. Surely the Lord is in this place, but I didn't realize it. And, you know, often we can think, does God even exist? You know, is he actually with me? I don't feel his presence. You know, you can have these doubts in your mind through your life. But actually, when you read these scriptures, you know, surely the Lord is with me, but I didn't realize it. And it says, where can you flee? Where can you go? If I go up there, he'll be there. If I go down there, he'll be there. Wherever I am, God is. You know, wherever I go, he's there, and he's never going to leave, never going to forsake. And I love this verse. It's actually from 1:3-9, where it says, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. And it says, even the darkness will not be dark to you. That's to God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And in another translation it says, for the darkness is the same as light to God. And I think that's an awesome verse because, you know, whether you feel discouraged or despair or in darkness, which we can, you know, in life, things happen and you can feel it absolute darkest place. But this scripture says that the darkness to God is actually, it's as if it's light. You know, when we stand in the pitch black darkness and we think it's pitch black here, but actually it says darkness and light are the same to him. They're actually the same, you know, so darkness and light, it's no big deal to him because it's all light. And that's the truth about who God is. You know, he's with you and he's your light. And in your darkness, he sees everything. And he sees that the truth is, actually the darkness is light to him. So that's the first thing I just want to encourage us with, you know, that that's who our God is, you know, and he wants our hearts to receive him. And I think for me, my first real experience of who God was or who God is was when I was about 6. I remember coming out of school, still in the infants, and I remember coming out and I saw my dad at the end of, he used to stand and wait for me at the end of the path. And I remember coming out one day and just looking up, and I just looked up and I just felt like I have a God in heaven who loves me. I thought, wow. And I really received that, you know, and believed it. I thought, yeah, I know that truth. I really received that. It was like a revelation to me that I had a God in heaven who loves me, a Father in heaven who loves me. And that stayed with me all of my life. And for me, I was brought up in the Catholic Church. So in the sense, for me, I was never any doubt there's a God. You know, some people obviously, like especially now, children, they've never heard of God or they don't know who Jesus is. You know, but for me, I was brought up, you know, going to church, you know, always praying. Used to pray. My dad used to pray on a night beside the bed and kneel down. So we did that, you see. And it's, in one way, it's a help because for me, I feel blessed by that because, you know, I've had never had a doubt that there is a God. But obviously, throughout your life, you have to make those choices, you know, as you grow up and grow older. You can't just be religion, you know. You can't just go to church and everything be all right. You have to find God for yourself, really. He has to become real to you in that relationship. And I think as I got older, I was about 14, 15, and I was in, well, it was fourth year seniors then. It's year 10 now. But I was going to do a GCSE exam, And I, like, blackmailed God, you know. It was social science or something, and I said to God, I'll read this Bible every night, a chapter every night, if you let me pass this exam, you know. So, like, that was my relationship with God at the time. But, so, we had this, I don't know about you, but, and they still do actually give them out, the Gideon New Testament and Psalms, and we got one when we were in year 7. So I had this Bible, this New Testament and Psalms. So I made this kind of pact with God, you know. So I decided then that if I did this, he would help me pass this GCSE exam. So I started, and I had it under my pillow, you know. I mean, when I look back now, I think God must have been, like, laughing at me, thinking, you know. And then so every night, before I went to sleep, I got this little New Testament and Psalms out, and I'd start, you know, Matthew chapter 1, next day, chapter 2, went through all through the Gospels, through the New Testament, through all the Psalms, just over and over and over. And actually, I passed the exam, but I couldn't stop then. I just was reading this, you know, the Bible. And for me, that was like, well, the foundation of my life with God, really, you know, learning who Jesus is and what he's done and just becoming to know the Word of God. And for me, that was an awesome happening. And so I just wanted to encourage us, you know. I mean, like, the Word of God is awesome. And sometimes it is hard to pick it up every day. And sometimes it does take discipline. I think when you're young, in some ways, you have got the time. We always say to our kids, while you're young, you know, pray, read, you know, because when you get older, when you get married and have children, it's so much harder to have that time, you know. So, and it doesn't take long in reality, you know, to read a chapter. But it is a kind of a challenge. But for me, I loved that Gideon version because it was a part of me. And for all of us, I think you do find your own version of the Bible that you enjoy. And I come to love the RSV as well, Revised Standard Version. That's one I love. Now, I've brought a few tools, if you like, just to show you this. This was one of my first Bibles. So this is actually RSV Bible. I mean, actually now I can hardly read it because my sight's not so good. And the print's quite small. But this one, it's funny, isn't it? When you've got a Bible, you read it and you read it and you read it. And you kind of know where everything is in the end because you've read it so much. And it's precious to you. And I just encourage you, you know, to have your Bible like that. Let it become a precious, precious thing to you, you know. So this is my RSV Bible. And then Martin bought me this. This is the year we actually got married. So that's a long time ago now, 1987. So, and this is like the Thompson Chain Bible. And this is the NIV, but it's like a study Bible. And this was awesome as well for me to read and to read lots of interesting things. It really helped me. So I think, you know, if you've got a study Bible as well, it's awesome to have a study Bible. If you need to learn and understand some other things. This one's actually got pages ripped out because of our kiddies getting hold of it when they were little, pulling the pages out. So, but these are like precious books, really. My Bibles, those Bibles. But I just want to encourage us to, you know, to read the Bible and, like I say, to find the translation that is comfortable for you. Some people like the NIV, but also to encourage us to read lots of translations as well, because, you know, when you're sort of used to one translation and then you read a different one, it's like, oh, wow, you see the scripture in a different way, in a different angle. And that's beautiful as well. Martin bought me a Spanish Bible. Half of the page is Spanish and the other half is English. And I love that as well, because we were learning to speak some Spanish. And so when you read the Spanish and then you look at the English, but and when you understand some of the Spanish words, even then the angle of what is being said is like a different angle. And it's awesome, really. You know, you have a different perspective on some scripture, and it's refreshing. So I'd encourage you to find your own, but also to read every other version as well. So the Word of God is awesome and foundational. And I remember hearing this expression about God's Word, and, you know, even though you might think it's boring or I can't read it, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's like almost to keep going, to keep reading, because actually the Word of God, it becomes like a reservoir within you. You don't realise that. But actually, as you were reading, subconsciously, you do remember it, and it goes in and in and in. And it's there deep down. And often, years later, you know, when you think of something, it's like the Holy Spirit brings those scriptures back, and they're just in you. So just to encourage us, even when it feels dry, to read. The next thing I'm talking about here is prayer, and just personal prayer, and prayer together as a church, and prayer with your family. And I mean, sometimes it can be hard to pray, and I think more and more, you know, we always encourage each other to pray, and you have to find your own way to talk to God. You know, there's times when you can sit down and be quiet, or there's times when you can go out. Some people find it easy to go out. Martin likes to go out and in the fields and talk like that. But I don't really like to do that. I'd rather like get on my knees and put my head in the bed, you know, quiet like that. That's, and it's like finding your own way of meeting God. And that's like something you need to find for yourself, you know, to meet God, how you pray. And it's all right, you know. You just need to find that for yourself, your own personal way of finding God and talking to him in a natural way. I just wanted to share one little prayer story, just a personal one, about when Ruth, our eldest, was getting married. She was at work every day, so we were kind of helping her to try and find all the things she needed for her wedding. And she needed like a tiara to go onto her veil. And so I said, oh, I'll go out and have a look, Ruth. And I went into one shop. And they said I could take these tiaras home with me. It's ridiculously expensive, like £100 for something you could probably make yourself, you know. So I brought these three tiaras home. And then I went on the afternoon into the town and I saw something else in another shop, which was really only £20. And it had all these pearls on it. And in my heart, I knew that would be the one that Ruth would really love, you know. And I said to the lady, if I buy it, could I bring it back if she doesn't want it? She said, oh, no, you can't do that. So I thought, all right, well, I better wait, you know. I don't want to kind of like buy it and waste it, really, the money, £20. And so I came home that day and I kind of like sat down, had a cup of tea and sat on the settee. And in my heart I said to God, I just prayed, you know, Lord, I think that's the one that Ruth would like, but I need £20, you know. And then I just, like, as I prayed that prayer, our eldest son, Joseph, came in the door and he said, Mum, I forgot to tell you that this lady came to the door yesterday. He said, I don't know who she is. She knows you, but she came on a bike and she knocked on the door. And she said, oh, will you give this to your mum? £20, it's for your mum. Okay. So I went, oh, thank you. And it was like, she gave me this £20. And then the lady came the next day, and it was somebody we hadn't seen for years. And she'd like cleaned somebody's house. She was helping this lady, and she'd go there every week. And this particular day, the lady had said to her, oh, look, I'd like to give you extra £20, you know, just as a little blessing. And she said, oh, I don't need it. She said, no, please take it. So she said, oh, okay then. So she took it. And she said, and she was riding home on a bike, and she lived around the corner from us. But we, like I say, we hadn't seen her for years. And she said, I don't normally come down your road. She said, but I was just pedalling down your road, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, go and knock on Margaret Ruddick's door and give Margaret Ruddick that £20. And so she told me the story. Then I could tell her, you know, that I'd prayed and then got this £20. But I just think that's how beautiful God is, you know, because we can think we have to be religious in our prayers sometimes. And it's good to sit and be quiet or whatever. But actually, you know, like that psalm said and like all those scriptures said, wherever you go, whatever you do, if it's dark or light, you know, you can't get away from him. You know, he's there. You know, if you're walking around or sitting and have a cup of tea, you know, he hears, he sees your heart. He hears just simple words. Sometimes you don't even have to speak out, do you? Sometimes you just have a little thought or a desire that you don't even half know about, and you think, oh, I'd love, and then he gives you it. And that's just prayer. All of that is prayer, you know, but just to encourage us that it's all of those things. God sees your heart. But to encourage us just to keep praying and asking and worshipping. Sorry, I'm just going to go back to this, the sense of actually... the word devotion and the word devout. The word devout, I looked it up actually in the talking about the word devout in the Bible, and it talked about love and awe and fear of God. And it actually talked about taking hold of God's presence. And it's to do with our inner being or our soul, and actually the attitude of our soul towards God. I thought, that's interesting, you know, when people say, oh, he's very devout, you know. And you think of religious, don't you? You know, often you do. Oh, he's very devout. You're like, he's very religious. You know, he'll go to church and do this and do that. But actually, it's to do with your heart and your soul, you know. It's not religious. It's to do with your relationship with God and how much, you know, you love and in awe of him and fear him. And it also talked about our attitude towards God. And it said, and it actually finds expression in devoted activity, because of the love that you have in your heart. Once you know who God is, it can't help but find expression in devoted activity. You know, it's like, oh, I want to read the Bible because I love God and I want to know more about him, or I want to spend time with him, or I want to worship him. And the word devotion actually means to worship. And when we look actually in the Bible, there's different scriptures talks about, you know, it talks about God's that we worship, or objects of worship in Acts. And they were devoted to those things, you know, objects of worship or gods. But actually for us, if you think of it like that, devotion and being devout is actually to do with worship, you know, worship of God. And the dictionary said, it talks in the Latin, it talks about solemnly promised to vow, to consecrate, a bit like the vote. You know, I'm putting my, this is who I vote for. This is God, you know, and I put my mark here. I want him. And it's to do with being consecrated, given over, you're committing yourself to, you're surrendering to him. And it's all to do with worship again. So that's like devotion. Your life, as you love him, you know, it wants to be that expression of worship, and, you know, and how you express that to God, whatever way, you know, through reading the word or praying. And like I was saying about personal prayer, and then there's corporate prayer, you know, praying together as a church. You know, we have the prayer meetings and things, and it's awesome because, you know, when we come together, it says he's with us, isn't it? You know, it says that when there's two or three, He's there with us, you know. And it's awesome because when you pray together, there's a blessing, isn't there, when you're all together. And when we were very young, we used to have prayer meetings on a Saturday night. And it was awesome. We used to worship and pray. And we used to have all-night prayer meetings in our house when we just had two children. And we used to have people around. We wanted to worship God through the night, you know. And it was quite easy because we were sort of in our 20s and we'd be up all night. We'd be praying and praying in tongues. And then we'd have a cup of tea and then we'd go back and pray and sing and worship. And then, you know, everybody would go home and they might go to sleep, but then our kids would wake up. So we never got the sleep, you know. But, you know, so that's a challenge to do that kind of thing. But together, and we laugh, me and Martin, because years and years later, in the house we're in now, we said, should we pray through the night, you know, like we used to? And we sat in our back room and we sat there. He was in one chair and I was in the other. And we started praying, you know, out loud. Thank you, Lord, we worship you. And then our heads dropped like that, you know. And then we opened up, both of us, for some reason, we must have woke up together. We just opened our eyes like that. And then we went. We looked at the clock and it was actually, we thought it was 7:05 in the morning, but it was actually 1:25 in the morning. So we went, oh, we've done it! Like, Mark said, we've done it! I said, done it? And I said, it's 7:05. Oh, no, it's 1:25. I said, but even if it was 7:05, we haven't done anything. We've slept all night. It's really funny. But I love, there's a psalm, it says, he pours blessings on his beloved while they slumber. That's my favourite psalm. So I always think, oh, thank you, Lord. Pour blessings on me. Gracious God. Yeah, so praise God. But anyway, but it's awesome when you have corporate prayer meetings or church meetings together. Sometimes it can be hard and dry, but it's awesome when it isn't, you know, and like, you know, the Holy Spirit's there. It's so wonderful to pray together, come together like that. And then family prayer, you know, praying as families or praying with your children. When Martin was, well, he was travelling a lot when our children were little, so I used to pray, well, still do now on a night with the little boys, but the other children pray, you know, every night with them. And we used to do this little Tops magazine. And then also we'd pray for Martin and where he was, and we'd pray for other countries and other people and other needs. And then one, you know, so that in a sense it's awesome really that your children have that atmosphere of praying to God and worshipping him, and it's awesome really. And I remember one day Anna said to me, I think she was only about 6 maybe, she said to me, she said, Mum, could I have a doll's house? I said, well, maybe you should ask Jesus for the doll's house, you know. So anyway, she said, okay then. She just prayed a prayer there. Lord Jesus, please give me a doll's house. And that was on the evening. And the next morning, we came out of the door, and our next door neighbour, she came out, Debbie, and she said, and I was with Anna, and she said, would your Anna like a doll's house? You know. And I said, looked at Anna, she went, you know, like, oh, yeah, yes, for one, so I'm getting one, you know. And I was like, whoa. And then I told her the little story, and she said, oh, that's spooky. I said, no, that's Jesus. So, I mean, this is beautiful little prayers for Anna, because she prayed that prayer and got this doll's house. And then within 2 weeks, that was it, she was looking at a photograph of herself, and she had this watch on, like a little red watch. She said, oh, Mum, where's that red watch? I said, oh, that wasn't your watch. You were just it was your cousin's. You just borrowed it for the day. She went, oh, can I have one of them watches? I said, oh, well, you pray. So, again, please, Lord Jesus, please, I'd like one of those red watches like that. And I mean, it's amazing, really. It's a bit spooky, really. But the next day, my sister came round, and she worked in, was Principia Bridal Shop. And the owner of that shop had given give my sister this watch, brand new watch, and she said, I bought this for my granddaughter, but they've all got watch. She's got a watch. She doesn't need a watch. Maybe one of your nieces would like a watch, you know. So, and so my sister Catherine brought it round. She said, so I thought of your Anna. Would she like this watch? And Anna's there, this exactly the same watch on the photograph, this red watch. And Anna went, oh, thank you. You know, like, it's just the normal thing, you know. Just ask Jesus, you'll get it. You know, it was just awesome, really. And then so she got this watch. And then and the next thing, this all happened within 6 weeks. And the next thing was, she was saying, do you know what, Mum? I think I need a bike without stabilisers now. She had a trike, and she's like, I could do with a bike now with stabilisers. And I said, all right then, Anna, so I'll pray, she said. So she prays this prayer, then, you know, please, Lord, can I have a little bike with stabilisers? And so I said, okay. And Martin was away at this time, and we were invited round Julie Archer's house. You know, John Archer, who came here, she invited us round for our tea one night. We went there, and lo and behold, she said, oh, Margaret, she said, I've got this little bike, she said. I thought of your Anna, she said. And Anna didn't say anything last week because I've been looking for the stabilisers, but I've found them now. So, Anna, would you like a bike with stabilisers? You know? And Anna's like, oh, yes, thank you. But I was like, whoa, you know? But it was like, I just thought how wonderful God is, you know, when children start to pray, or when we start to pray, you know, when we come to know God, he just wants to bless us and encourage us and, you know, and it's so beautiful for Anna. She just thought, oh, yeah, just ask Jesus for it and I get it, you know. So that's just a little story from family prayer. So that's prayer. But also, just to encourage us, now I think a lot of people use this daily light. I think this is awesome, this. This is like a bit of an old one, but this is what I was reading from there. It's morning. It goes right through the whole year. And it's morning and evening, and there's a theme every morning and then a theme every evening, just a group of scriptures together. And that is awesome, because I think when you've got little children especially, or you've got a fast life or something, or you're travelling, this is awesome, because this is something you can actually pick up, you know, pretty much every day, even if you just do the morning or the evening, you know. You can read this every day, and that's an awesome thing to do. And I don't know about you, but if you've got a phone, you can actually download Daily Light for free as well on your phone. You can find that app. So I have it on my phone, so you can like read that anywhere. If you've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes somewhere, you can just get your phone out and read the Daily Light. But it, like I say, the beautiful thing about this is it's on a particular theme, and so it's kind of, for me, it inspires like meditation, really, you know. So like I say, those scriptures I read were all about God being with us, you know, and he's present with us. He's in the heavens, but he also, we are his temple, you know. He lives within us, and he's everywhere, and he's never going to leave us. And it's awesome to actually read a group of scriptures. It's all just proclaiming the truth about God, or about something about him. And if you read it, and you can read it again, and you just sit and just meditate and think about it, and it's awesome food for your soul. So for me, I would encourage everyone to have a daily light, you know, because if you find it hard to, you know, sometimes if you're reading through a book in the Bible, you know, sometimes it's hard to pick your Bible up, or if you don't stop all day or something. But the daily light, like I say, on your phone, or just a little, you can get them smaller than this, just in your bag, it's awesome, really. So that was just something we've used over the years, and as a real, real encouragement. To like meditate and think about God's word. Now, I'm just going to, share that, I don't know whether, I was brought up as a Catholic, and I don't know whether you knew that I actually went into a convent. You might know that. Some of you do, I think, but no. All right, well, part of my journey with God is I went into a convent, and it was an enclosed convent, Poor Clare's in Darlington, and so I was there actually only for 3.5 months, but I'd gone in intending to go there all my life, really. And when I went into the convent, I don't know whether you've ever been in a convent or whether you've been aware of how nuns pray, if you like. But the Catholic Church uses this. It's called the Divine Office, actually, and it's awesome. I mean, it's all the psalms, you know. We sang the psalms. It was awesome, really. You know, we used to get up 6 o'clock in the morning, and we'd pray these prayers and sing the psalms. And then we'd come back to the chapel before lunch. We'd go for lunch, come back after lunch, and then we'd come back on the afternoon and then evening. So five, I think it was five times in the day. And that, this is the like enclosed nuns used to go and pray. And that was what they did. They prayed. And they did some work and things and for the community, but it was all within the convent. But for me, I'm just encouraging you to find something that really helps your devotion to God, you know. And this is part of my journey, you know, this. And we used to sing these psalms, you know, and because I've done that for years, the psalms are probably one of the favourite parts of the Bible for me, you know. I mean, I think a lot of people love the psalms, don't they, you know. But the, for me, you can, I could weep, you know, when I read the psalms or, you know, sing the psalms. And if you have a book just with the psalms, even that, having that, and travelling with that and using that to read the psalms is awesome. So for me, that is precious. I don't know, but there's also the common prayer. If you've heard of the common prayer, that's the Anglican Church used that. And that's got the psalms in there as well and ways of praying. And that's a beautiful book as well, you know. It's like trying to find something that's going to help you, you know. Some people might think, oh, I can't do that, you know. Or, but I really encourage you to, you know, not to be afraid of, like, prayer books, you know, because they're beautiful. Some books with prayers in written prayers or, you know, like the Psalms and other prayers there, which can help you just to, like, draw close to God, to worship him. You know, if you can, you know, just to encourage you with that, not to be afraid, because you think, oh, it's a bit religious, isn't it? But actually, if somebody saw me with this, they'd think, oh, she's religious. But actually, this is deep in my soul, these all these scriptures in here and songs. When I go there, I meet with God, you know, because they're just something that I started with God, you know. So it's just to encourage you, if you find any prayer book or anything like that, to encourage you to draw close to God through these things. And the other thing I was thinking about was like spiritual reading, you know, just reading books. When I first became, well, searching for God when I was about 15, my friend gave me this book. This is the first ever Christian book I ever read. I don't know if you ever read this. Have you ever read it? This is an awesome book. Knowing God, yeah. G.I. Packer. Well, every... You know, I was only 15 at the time, and this book, every chapter is about, you know, it's about the study of God. It's about the only one true God, God becoming flesh, God unchanging, the majesty of God, God only wise, God God's wisdom, the word is truth, the love of God, the grace of God, God the judge, the wrath of God, goodness, and just the jealous God. It was all, it's all about who he is, and it's all about, it's all scripture. It's talking about that. And that was awesome for me. I read that book, and I just used to, like, study it. And I think that's awesome if you can have books that are, like, spiritual books, but are they just going to, like, speak truth to you and encourage you? And another reading, a book to read, one of the first books I read was like biographies, you know. I don't know about you, but I love biographies about Christians. And the first one I read was Run Baby Run, about Nicky Cruz. It was quite horrific, really. I always remember the graphic details of it, but I remember reading that. And I mean, I, like, Martin loves to read, and he can read and read and read. But over the years, I haven't had, like, much time to read. But when I do, I love to pick up books about people's lives, you know. And this lady as well, Isabel Kun, have you heard of her? And she's got a number of books. This is just one of them. There's like a group of books about her life. But she's awesome, you know. If you read her life, Isabel Kun, just so encouraging. Real people, you know, real people. I just want to, there's a tiny little bit at the very beginning of this book. And just to encourage us to go after God, you know. It says, to every man there openeth a way and a ways and a way, and the high soul climbs the highway, and the low soul gropes the low, and in between on the misty flats the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth the way his soul shall go. I mean, every time I read that, it makes me cry, because it's like, we have a choice, don't we? You know, whether to like be the soul that just stays down there, or we can just stay on the misty flats, you know, where like, it's okay, it's comfortable here. Or we can be challenged, you know, to go higher with God, you know, and search for him and for our soul to worship him. And we have that choice to do that. And the last bit is just actually about the special place for ourselves, you know, like the secret place to do all any of these things. And like I say, it could be for you. It might be. That special place might be out in the field, you know, meeting God there. Or it could be a special chair in your house. There might be a room in your house where you love to sit and just sit with God and read. And that's awesome. But I just, to encourage us, you know, that's really good to do that, I think, to find. And you know, you probably do have that yourself. You know, you think, when I go here, when I sit here, or when I go there, or when, you know, I'd really meet with God. And to close that door, you know, and you know, your Father in heaven sees you. And it can be that place where you rest, you know, in God and in his presence. So God bless you. Amen.
Isabel Kuhn, it's K-U-H-N, isn't it? Okay, I wasn't brought up in the Catholic faith at all, but everything I've learned about devotion and prayer has basically comes from the Catholic tradition, really. And I remember Martin and I were in a, we were doing a men's weekend somewhere, and we went into this chapel in a convent, and he said, "I'll teach you how to do the Glory Be." I was like, "What the heck are you on about?" It's wonderful. And another time we were doing a Holy Spirit Day in a monastery, and I got lost, and I was going up this stone spiral staircase, and as I got to the top, I heard something, and I shouted dead loud, "Is that you, brother?" And I walked in, there was like 10 monks in there, and they all went, "Huh?" So I thought, oh, 10 brothers. Anyway. For our activation, I think, in terms of devotion, for something of God to come in, something of the world has to go out. Because the one thing we need for devotion is time. If you're devoted to somebody, the most precious thing you can give them is your time, isn't it? And that's, I don't know about you, but that's the biggest challenge I have, is how I manage my time. I know, you might not believe me, but I know God didn't make a mistake when he put 24 hours in the day. But how we handle it is often the issue that comes between us and our devotion to God. So for the next sort of 20 minutes, I want you to find a space and ask God to show you these two things. Margaret talked in the beginning about darkness and light, and you know, and it's all the same to God. But with us, there's you know, we live in a dark world, but we have access to absolute light all the time. And what I want us to pray about over the next 20 minutes is to make a little bit of a list about those things that are actually of the world a little bit, and there's obviously no condemnation in this, but just those things that consume our time. So they might not necessarily be absolutely sinful things in that sense, but they might consume our time. So they don't necessarily do us any harm in themselves, but they don't allow us freedom to be with God. So if you can make a list, you know, darkness on one side of the page and light on the other, if you like, and those things that take up our time that aren't actually to do with God. And then those, so it's things to stop, if you like, and then things to start on the other side. And, you know, like Margaret said, it's not religious, this, okay? So be careful that you don't say, "I am never going to watch telly again. I am going to read the Bible for 2 hours every night." You know, if God speaks to you, fine. But, you know, make it realistic for yourself. Don't set yourself a target that you might not be able to fully attain. If you go for something big like that, you might want to try that for a week, see how it goes. But just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about those things to stop, And knowing how the Holy Spirit's work, he's already probably told you some of those things as I've been speaking. So to make a list of those things to stop doing and those things to start doing and to, you know, and they might be for a season. Don't sort of bind yourself to those things religiously. But I'm just thinking about one of the funniest things I saw in Martin and Margaret's house once. Was something. I arrived one day, and when all the kids were like little, it was you had to be prepared to go around because there was things to do. I remember walking in into the house one time, and Martin handed me a baby. I can't remember which one it was. Just say, here, hold this. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, I was holding the baby. And then somebody came and took the baby off me, and Margaret said, oh, why are you not doing anything? Can you give us a hand with... It's like, you know, just panic. But I remember going into the kitchen. There was all sorts of things going on. But there was one of those cast iron recipe book holders. Have you still got that? Yeah. And there's all sorts of things going on in the house and in the kitchen and stuff. And every meal time is big. And on this recipe book holder was a Bible open. And I just remember thinking, that's what life's all about, really. Just not necessarily even reading it, but having it there. I guess you looked at it every now and then as you went past it, you know, with a baby in your hand or something. And just kind of, it was just like a picture, really, a prophetic picture of what life should be like for us. That, you know, that always to hand is the word of God. And always to hand is access to God. You know, it says in Psalm 111, I think, you know, holy and awesome is his name. If you notice, Margaret uses the word awesome more than anybody else. But it comes from real heart, you know. But holy and awesome is his name. Awesome, isn't he? Holy and awesome is his name. We should be absolutely devoted to him. So we spend the next 20 minutes, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, okay, what things do I need to stop and what things do I need to start to move closer to him? Okay, thank you very much.